My next guests are a writer and an artist who've created a unique picture and storybook for adults. High Wire is a collaboration between Wellington-based writer Lloyd Jones and artist Ewan McLeod, who now lives in Sydney. It's the first in a series of picture books written and made for adults, showcasing New Zealand writers and artists dynamically working together. High Wire is told by a narrator who sets off to walk to Australia, traversing a high wire bridge across the Tasman. Lloyd Jones' words are illustrated by the brooding images created by Ewan McLeod. One reviewer described the hardback book as the writer knowing what not to say and the artist knowing what not to draw. So, in collaboration, where you start, we have them both on the line, Lloyd and Ewan. Kia ora, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, man.
I think the hardest question, in a way, is to describe this, because before I received the book and I was thinking, an illustrated or picture book for adults, I was thinking kind of that graphic novel format that's become so very popular.
But the Japanese kind of comic.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a few New Zealanders creating them too, but this is not that. Who's going to give me a definition?
Lloyd's going to do all the talking. He's the word man, and I'm the images.
Yeah, sometimes.
So I don't get to say much.
No, I'm a bit stuck on that description, graphic novel, because it always seems to me a contradiction. A novel isn't graphic in that sense. Novels are about language, not really about pictures. So it's most definitely not a graphic novel. We use the word picture book because everybody knows what a picture book is. It's a shorthand, really, for describing this collaboration, which is one in a series. And shall I say a little bit, Lynn, about where it's all come from, this idea for the series?
Yeah, please do. I know you two knew each other, but what was the starting point for this?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
We're going to have trouble, aren't we, Lloyd? We're going to be buffing in on each other. It's going to be interesting. But I think if Lloyd tells you that, that's great.
All right. Okay. So listeners may be familiar with the Kahia series, which is a beautiful series of chapbooks published by the American University of Paris. And it brings together writers and artists like the South African artist William Kentridge and writers, poets such as Anne Carson, and a favourite of mine, the Hungarian, László Krizna-Horkai, and artists like Max Newman. And they're conversations. They're not stated as such, but in effect they are between the image and the text. And I think the question about these collaborations, the question I ask myself with regard to High Wire, would have I been able to write what I did without the collaboration with Ewan, without the conversation without the drawings that he sent my way and the words I sent his way? There's a strange sort of synthesis of text and images that arise from all of this. It's quite a hard process to describe, other than to say this, that all writers and artists are already in conversation between their own private language and the world around them. So a collaboration like this just lets in another person, and in this instance, it's Ewan. And so, this is how the whole thing that's the whole process of how you go about constructing a book like this.
Well, Ewan, I'll flick that question around then. If Lloyd's saying that he couldn't have written this, come up with these words without your drawings, would that be the same for your drawings? Could they have existed without this conversation, this scene that you're exploring with Lloyd?
I think I really loved what Lloyd actually said then, and I hadn't quite thought it quite through like that, but absolutely not. No, there's absolutely no way that I would have gone on that journey even. The whole theme of the High Wire came, I mean, it's interesting because we initially were going to do bridges, and I had been working on bridges. I'd been working on paintings of the sort of the connections always interested me. But the idea of the High Wire pushed me into another area, and I absolutely loved the idea of the line, because the line is so fundamental in drawing, and this kind of line just became really, really interesting to me. I'm trying to sort of pursue it in paintings, but it's maybe not as easy. But yes, I think that's a really, really lovely way of looking at it, that no, they wouldn't have existed without Lloyd. And we talked a little bit about the collaboration, and I guess when I first thought about it, I thought, oh, there was, you know, I pretty much did what I did and Lloyd did what he did. And yet then I thought about it later and I thought, absolutely, that's absolute bullshit. I'd forgotten about it, all the input. But what it wasn't is it wasn't directions from Lloyd. He wasn't saying, I think you should have a figure standing, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't illustrating his words, and he wasn't writing about my images. And that was for me was the fundamental, that we had to both be expressing the ideas in our own ways. But and I think that happened incredibly naturally. But as Lloyd said, I think artists and writers and all creative people are sucking things up all the time. So you're even having a conversation with someone and that's leading you in a particular direction. That's sending you off in a certain way. So that kind of thing is happening all the time. And this is just a little bit more formalised, I suppose.
And Lloyd, very early in the book, actually, you refer to discovering the most daring tightrope walker the world has ever seen. And that's quite a personal story for you. People will know it also told in the brilliant documentary Man on Wire. But tell us about Philippe.
Philippe Petit, yeah. Well, in the early 70s, this French tightrope walker put a wire between the Twin Towers of New York and walked across it. And you can YouTube this, and it's the most, and people would have seen, I think, was there a documentary, a reconstruction of the whole thing called Bird on a Wire, or does that ring a bell? Anyway.
Man on a Wire, yeah.
Man on a Wire, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, it's the most, I think it's probably the bravest thing I've ever seen anyone ever do. Imagine stepping out onto a wire, but, you know, at that dizzying height, at the top of the Twin Towers. And you can see a Boeing sort of enter that picture. So at some point, the tightrope walker is actually prostrate on the wire and he's turned himself into a human crucifix. So he's got this walking pole and that's at right angles held across his chest. And he's lying there, suspended on this wire, thousands and thousands of feet up above, you know, the streets of New York. I can barely look at it without sort of feeling this chill up my spine. And I have been before. My late father-in-law had an office in one of those towers, and I can remember going up there in the late 80s, it was actually, to an unbelievable height. I mean, I could barely bring myself to walk across the room to look out the window. But when I did, I looked down on a small plane entering some cloud below. So it gives you an idea of just the height at which this man was walking out into thin air. And the whole thing about, as Ewan said, we started talking about bridges as sort of transitional spaces. You know, a bridge promises to deliver you from here to there. But a high wire kind of amps that up a bit. You know, it advances the ideas around transition. And this is space that artists like to occupy. It's also a space, you know, a space where no one else has been before, but it's also a space that requires that you hold your nerve and perhaps don't look down. And so, you know, these are some of the ideas that we were playing around with in constructing this.
It feels like you were equally fascinated, actually, Ewan. I mean, I'd say the bulk of your illustrations are the high wire, the tightrope walkers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did do a lot of work towards the project, and there was certainly an editing process that went on. I mean, I think we should mention Gary Stewart, who designed the book, and I mean he was fantastic. He really was, because he sort of brought it together, made it work. But I think the other thing he cleverly did is a lot of the images in the text he put there. He was part of that process, and there's a kind of a neutrality to it. So there's a connection, but they're not, you know, we didn't go, oh, you mentioned the Boeing in that one, let's put the plane in there, or You know, let's not try and link them up too carefully, too cleverly, because I think that can all fall down too. That can make it look more like illustration. But one of the other aspects I loved about the project, and that became really dear to my heart, was the kind of link between Australia and New Zealand. And to me, that's just been played out so the last few months with this COVID thing and this connection and the sense of how we remain connected. You know, like my mum's over in Christchurch. I was about to go and see her the week that where travel was banned. And, you know, the only way I remain connected to her is through the telephone line. And it's, you know, it's kind of sad. I keep listening to all this talk of bubbles between Australia and New Zealand, and you know, I think, wow, how fantastic. And I was listening to all your suggestions of where to go in New Zealand and thinking, oh, geez, I miss it so much, you know. I was supposed to be over there for the launch. And yeah, well, I thought, I'll get on the high wire. But, you know, this space between the two countries, and a lot of New Zealanders have been over to, you know, have lived for a while in Australia and vice versa, and the countries have a kind of a funny bond. You know, I mean, often the rugby field is often suggested, but to me that was a lovely part of the project. And you know, even Lloyd coming over, he'd come over a bit. I haven't seen Lloyd for ages because of obvious reasons, but you know, just sitting here in the house thinking about Wellington, thinking, oh, shit, I should be there at the moment. You know, should be there for the book launch. And the gallery where I show has Bowen Galleries in Wellington has a few images on the walls from the project. And, you know, I feel like I'm missing out. It's all happening over there, not here.
Just to pick up on that, actually, Lloyd, there's some beautiful writing. I mean, you write about Ewan, and you've got a line here. Over that winter that McLeod and I wrote to each other, I had the strongest sense that he was drawing his way towards me. Mm. I just love that. Back to his homeland and birthplace, and the shoulders of the figures sloped peacefully forward, at times purposeful. I mean, and you talk about this. It's a personal story. It's many things. It's not literal in any way, but it's many things, your story. And this relationship between you and Ewan is such a big part of it.
Well, I had a sense, you know, he is drawing his way back here. So I was using words to kind of create a path over there. So between us, we're straddling the two places, really. But, I mean, Ewan sort of, he was of that generation that took off to Australia in the early 80s. And I think, Ewan, you probably typify this whole notion of a trans-Tasman artist better than anybody else I can think of, where you've got a foot in both countries. And when you're in New Zealand, you've possibly got images of Australia in your head. And when you're in New Zealand, when you're in Australia, you've got images of Littleton and the Port Hills in your head. So it's an interesting sort of balancing act in itself, carrying two places around inside of yourself. I just want to say, can I just say very quickly, just in terms of how a collaboration can affect the way you write, I mean, the whole point of a collaboration is to perhaps change what you're doing, to be prompted or stimulated in some way to do something fresh. And I've watched Ewan drawing many, many times. In fact, I can't even think of Ewan when he's not drawing, presumably in the bath, Ewan, or on the toilet, perhaps. But even then, I would like a bet that couldn't be.
That's a whole other interview.
I think so.
But the thing about it is the delightful spontaneity that comes from this drawing. It's like a flashing moment, a mark that's made on the page. And I began to think about that in terms of language and just being very playful about what I wrote, how the words arrived on the page. And I tried to imagine, really, that I was sketching as much as writing in my normal sort of way, if this makes sense.
So you've also mentioned that
arrive with spontaneity.
Yeah, you've also mentioned, Lloyd, about writing this, that the difference, also one of the differences between this and crafting a novel is that there's more kind of immediate gratification, but it's still a challenge. It's still the same as with any writing challenge, you know, can you do it?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, well, that's absolutely right. The thing, the real thing about these sorts of collaborations is it's highly speculative. You don't know that it's going to work. Okay, as Ewan said, we started at bridges without any idea that we'd end up on a high wire, without any idea that I would be, through language, walking my way from the south coast of Wellington to Bondi Beach. So you sort of, you start in one place and you end up in another. And it has to be, it has to have that kind of life of possibility in the whole exercise for it to really work. Now, that's not to say other books in the series will be like that. There'll be some that are much more sort of documentary in effect. Like there's a one between Paula Morris and Haru Samashima that's looking at the life of Robin Hyde. That'll be a little bit more orthodox. But other ones will be, you know, will sort of adopt this kind of speculative approach.
Ewan, Lloyd was trying something new here, and as he mentioned, you're always drawing, but has this been a challenge for you? Has this taken you outside of a comfort zone and you learnt something about your craft through being involved in this process?
Absolutely, actually. And often people ask that question, you know, how's this project affected your work generally? And you always think, well, shit, I don't know. It's only been a couple of weeks. Who knows how it'll affect it? But one of the things that Lloyd encouraged, and it did take a lot of encouragement, and it did actually take a lot of faith on my part, was to include a lot of the drawings that I had seen as preliminary. They're me thinking aloud. I do a lot of them, you know, like often in planes and things, I'll do these little just doodles, jotting down ideas, and they can be as stupid as, and I don't worry about it. It's not like I'm putting a lot of time into it. And Lloyd encouraged me to include these, and I think it's a sort of masterstroke in the book, really, because it is me thinking aloud. It is me, just the real bare bones. And I have a lot of problems with this with the art world. Often that kind of very brief mark to me sort of sums up an idea, but. And just in the way you have to go about it, you know, people will look, well, I'm not going to buy that. There's only got a couple of lines on it. But, of course, you can paint a painting that says the same thing, but it doesn't say any more. In fact, often it says less. Often the more you put into the work, the less it is. So I think Lloyd really encouraged that, and it's something I want to pursue. I really do. And the other thing Lloyd mentioned was fun, play. And I think, it was playful. There was no effort in the project at all. In fact, it took about a year, and it just didn't feel onerous. It was a really enjoyable project, really enjoyable. So, no, it pushed me into very, very different areas that I'd like to kind of pursue. A more of a directness, a more of a lack of trying to sort of decorate the cake. You know, I mean, a lot of the artwork can become about just decorating the idea, and it doesn't need it. It's there. You've said it in that brief sketch.
Ewan was...
Yeah, that's an interest. Sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just to pick up what Ewan said there about the thinking aloud quality. To me, that's where some of the most delightful stuff is. It's alive in a way. And so much of the art that we do, whether it's writing or painting, when it's finished, it can be a bit hermetically sealed. It looks too finished, if you know what I mean. Whereas these back of the envelope drawings, they're so loose and they're so alive with possibility that there's something in themselves that's incredibly satisfying that could be just rolled out of them, if they're taken to the next extent of being finished. So that became pretty obvious, yeah.
Ewan, I've got a message for you from a listener. I just want to slip it in. They say, while listening to your interview, I was by chance walking past your childhood home on Eastern Terrace. Hi from Beckenham. I just thought I'd throw that in for you. Random.
Very nice.
Lord, I want to pick up on something that Ewan mentioned just before, talking about the bubble and the COVID period in which we are. And, of course, when you were creating this, you had no idea that it would come out during this time. So I was reading a line that you wrote, I am more wary of people on a bridge than I am on a street, and talking about this issue of people crossing a bridge. And I couldn't help but think about that. I mean, it feels like you know, we're going to find context in pretty much everything for a while. But that really got me thinking too about this wariness that we have of passing people.
Yeah, well, I guess we always read our own circumstances back into something, don't we? And yeah, this wariness around people, very interesting.
As Lloyd was saying, it's also about what you don't say. I think that's the issue, isn't it? If you leave gaps, you're leaving gaps for the person to add into it. You know, the viewer or the reader becomes sort of involved in the work. If you finish it off, if you say it all, you know, you resolve it all. There's no room for the reader.
The reader, yeah.
Or the viewer, there's no room for them, and I think that's the key. So you've got to leave, you've got to leave that opening for them.
That's where Gary Stewart was such an important part of this whole thing, as the sort of mixer. He understands the white space, the need for white space, and it's perfectly balanced in that regard. You know, on one page there may be only a couple of sentences, and then you turn the page and there's a double page spread of Ewan's work. So you're going from a sort of a lightness to a heavily present sort of representation, and then moving out of that into something else. And Gary is really an important part of the whole collaboration, really.
You write about bridge builders and their statistics and their sad eyes. Was that something you imagined or not?
Imagined?
Lloyd, yeah. I mean, did you...
Is it not true?
I don't think I've ever met any.
It must be. It must be true. If it's written down on the page, you believe it.
I believe everything you write, Lloyd.
Well, you can see them. You can see them now, can't you?
Yes, I
can. You didn't know they were like that. Now you do.
There are messages through here. Do not fall. Do not fall. Do not fall. There are pages here. And don't lose your nerve. These are yours that are scattered throughout. It's a bit of a shock when you come across one of your works in colour. Ewan, was that sort of deliberate as well, that you'd use colour sparingly in this book?
Yeah, I played around with colour a little bit, and I think we agreed that it was too much. But when there's a little, just a hint of colour, and I love the way the works have been, they've been photographed in colour, so that if the page was slightly off-white, you get that. So there's a real subtlety. But yeah, it's lovely when you hit a bit of blue or something or other, and the blue kind of has a real impact. It's beautiful. But you know, a lot of that was sort of decided in the production. I think it's just an utterly beautifully produced book. I really love the way it feels, as if no expense has been spared on it, and it's just beautiful. It really, you know, it's just a really lovely thing to hold, I reckon.
Being on a bridge isn't your favourite thing, Lloyd, I gather, from this book. You talk about the height terrifying you, yet being drawn to the edge. I think Brooklyn Bridge wasn't your favourite either. So has it been interesting for you to really think about that?
Oh, well, quite a few people are like this. A strange thing where you're drawn to the edge of something and you're almost compelled to throw yourself off, you know? Or am I the only one? I think it's quite a common sort of experience. So there's a mix of kind of exhilaration at where you found yourself, you know, suspended high above, and an awful kind of magnetic sort of pull over the side somehow that I so far recoil from. that's the way it is, really. Yeah.
What's your relationship with height, Ewan?
Well, I actually did a lot of climbing when I was young, and I did go up into the Tasman Saddle just recently, which was just utterly beautiful. And I was a bit worried about how I was going to handle the heights, because I don't know, I've never liked them, and I think it was challenging my fear of heights. But I think something about man-made structures, I don't know, maybe a bit, but Lloyd is certainly right. You know, some of my worst experiences with height have been on, you know, like the beautiful Barcelona Cathedral. I mean, that was frightening, you know. I can still sort of feel it. There is something about being pulled off or the void, you know, contemplating the void. But I think that's throughout the whole book, and the artistic process, as Lloyd said, is very much like that. There really is the sense of failure all the time. There's failure, and even if you're walking across the wire quite adequately, you still think maybe you have failed. You don't know. You just never know. It can be an exhilarating process, but often when it's exhilarating, you look back at what you've done and think, oh, that's bloody terrible. That is shocking. Sometimes I think the times when I've got the most doubt are the times when I'm producing something that is possibly okay. So it's a sort of it's a weird experience. And I love the way the book teased all that out, the creative process, you know, that do not fall, do not fail, do not look down. I loved it. But yes, certainly heights are not my favourite thing. I don't love them.
Well, look, thank you. Lloyd, I'm very happy to give you the last word. Squeeze it in.
All right. Yeah, just that all sort of artistic endeavour that's worth its while is underpinned by a dare, the possibility of failure. That's where the high wire comes in.
Thank you both and congratulations. I've never seen anything like it. It's beautiful. High Wires, the collaboration between Lloyd Jones and artist Ewan McLeod, published by Massey University Press.